Good morning. Good morning, everyone. We want to, at this time, we want to acknowledge our birthdays and anniversaries for the month of February. And so our birthdays at this point are Jeff Keplinger, February the 5th. That's tomorrow, isn't it?
Yes,
sir. Amen, brother. Okay.
I finally caught up to Lori.
Okay. All right. Tim Smith, February the 8th. I'm going to just move on beyond that one. Candace Louder, February the 12th. Emily Snyder, February the 16th. And Jeff Harville, February the 21st. McCord Barbie, February the 21st. And Betty Davis, February the 27th. Did I miss anyone? All right, let's do birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
And our anniversaries for February are Wesley and Angie Barbie, Wes, and Jeff and Charlene Harville, both February the 14th. That had been Valentine's Day, right? That's a great time to get married, isn't it? Wonderful. Did I miss anyone there? Okay, congratulations.
Jeff and Angie are 34 years, right?
My goodness, that's great. That's wonderful. Congrats, that's wonderful. All right, anyone else that I missed? No one? Okay. In that case, let's all stand for the doxology, please. Standing and we'll sing. No way, you can't do it. Here's the pastor. I'm about to do it. Now you can sit down.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm about to
catch you down.
It wouldn't matter.
No, I'm sorry.
I don't think there's any heavenly order of service. Now I know sometimes we as Baptists get it. If somebody deviates one little bit, we get bent out of shape. But not me.
Thank you.
We can sing six songs or we can sing one, whatever. But we're glad you're in the Lord's house, and it's good to be here. We know we've got several folks that aren't feeling top of the line, but you're here, and we just pray the Lord blesses you. Those that might be in the parking lot, those that listen later on the website, may you be blessed as you join us together as we worship Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. May we pray. Lord, it's good to be in your house. Lord, we think of that old psalmist that said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Thank you for the joy that we find here as we worship you, the joy that we have as we fellowship with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Thank you for the fellowship we have with the Holy Spirit. As he comes and speaks and comforts and encourages and teaches and guides and directs, we just welcome your presence. Lord, may you be honored and worshiped. For there is none other like you. There is none other but you. We exalt the name of Jesus. In that name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed. Yeah, what you do is very, very important to get us off on the right foot. We, as always, let's sing our hymn sing this morning. And if you read the pastor's newsletter, you'll know of why I'm doing this today. It is well with my soul. I normally would leave out, and I have to admit, I would leave out that third verse. And he put in the newsletter that that's not a good thing to do. And, you know, sometimes the third verse in the song is kind of like a pair of brown shoes and a tuxedo. Doesn't work. And sometimes I just have that too many verses, and I just cut it back a little bit so there wouldn't be as quite as long. But we're going to sing all the verses of "It Is Well With My Soul" this morning. If you would please stand. And everybody said, amen. I'm so glad. And Pastor, I'll never leave that third verse out again. You're right. It's very, very important. you read that newsletter and you'll see just how important it is. I am glad not all my sins are forgiven. Praise the Lord, Pastor, for pointing that one out. That's very good. All right. It is good to be here. It's good to be able to look around and see you. I know we're missing some people this morning, but we've got some people that's still sick and still not feeling well. I've got a lot of announcements I want to cover with you this morning. So if we would, let's talk about today first. Today we will have a call conference here and from the building and grounds. And that reason was announced last Sunday, so you'll know what that's about. And then tonight we've got a very important evening scheduled for this afternoon, this evening as well. We've got this evening, we will have a choir practice. And again, I'm going to ask you if you want a choir and you want to be part of the choir, tonight's the night to come. I want you to be here. That way we'll know where we stand. We'll know what kind of participation we've got and where we'll be able to move forward with it. So it's very, very important that you come here. Grant, I know you've got a good evening, Grant, for tonight, and you want to touch on that a little bit for you, where you'll be tonight. Amen. I am so happy that that's happening, Grant, and thank you a lot for leading out. You and Michael to take care of that for us, and we thank you all for that very, very, very much, very much. So our youth nights will be here. Baptist Women's Day, and Baptist Women's Day is coming up, Rosina. You all ready? I know you're ready because we've talked about it, and you're ready to go and got everything ready. You want to talk about that a little bit this morning? Anything you want to add? Okay. Yeah, Jennifer Swink will be here from the Pregnancy Resource Center, and then you'll have some breakfast, right? You'll have some donuts, coffee.
Donuts.
You don't want me to come and cook you some ham and eggs or anything like that?
No. We'll just go with donuts.
God.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. I understand. You, whatever's happening. Yes.
Yeah. Wings meeting for the month will be Wednesday morning, so we can do any additional planning.
Yeah, that's in the bulletin too, and I didn't cover that.
But that's okay. We will be meeting our regular 10 o'clock.
And you all don't forget the baby bottles now. If you haven't already, picked up one, most of them are gone, and I think that's a good thing.
Bring those next Sunday.
Next Sunday, yes. Bring your baby bottles full of money.
Yes, we will send those.
Full of money. Jeff. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. All right, and I see it here again. A donation has been made to the Baptist Children's Home for Bertie Hatley by Bobby and Janice Williams, and we thank you very much for that contribution in Aunt Bertie's behalf. Okay, have I missed any announcements this morning? All right, okay. Let's now go to our prayer list this morning, prayer request this morning. Barbara Whitley, we need to remember Barbara Whitley. She's in the hospital. She went in there yesterday with a kidney stone, and the kidney stone was infected and had created infection in her body. She was very, very ill, so they lifted her to Concord, and she had emergency surgery last night, and I talked to Chris this morning, and she's doing much better, but she's still very, very sick from the infection. So let's remember Barbara Whitley this morning. Kathleen Hahn, that Lionel's mom, she is very, very low indeed. God is just about to call her home. Let's just tell it like it is. And so they're just, matter of fact, their hospice has already said it's just a matter of time and a short time at that. So let's remember Lionel and all the family this morning in our prayers for Kathleen Hahn. Let's keep remembering, McCord, you're here, and I'm glad to see you here. But I know that I know Jeanette is at home, and you both have been very, very sick. And so we thank God that you're here, but we want to lift up Jeanette this morning to hurt with her as she is still home and ill. Are there others that I may have overlooked this morning or don't know about?
I have a praise report.
Okay.
My mama is on the upside now, and we have some hurdles this week that we just jump through, but God was good, and he solved all of them, and she's doing well, and just feeling better. So
oh, that's wonderful.
Praying for her for the last
that time. Is wonderful. That's wonderful. I know you. Yes, sir.
Brother. Janice and I would like to thank the church for your prayers when we were down with COVID, and for the calls and the cards that we received. And we're just so thankful that we have a church home that is so loving and caring.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Brother Jim. And it is good to see you both back and healthy. You know, that old COVID is still hanging around, isn't it? But, you know, God's in control. I'm glad he is. He's in control. Yes, go ahead.
Sheila Bolton, we have prayed for her for the last couple of years. She has just been diagnosed with breast cancer. And because of her battle with COVID a couple of years ago and everything, it's going to be a little more complicated. But she got some good news this week. I'm going to put her on a prayer list if you'll just continue to pray for her.
Okay. Sheila Bolton. Sheila Bolton. Okay. Got it. Are there others?
No.
Yes, I'm sorry.
The family of Tony Bradley.
Yes. Okay, others? The family of Tony Bradley. All right, then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we again are very, very thankful and always are for the blessings you've given us. And I'm very, very careful not to ask for things, not to ask for things until we say thank you. And Lord, we do thank you for the blessings we each all share, that everyone has shared by the fact that they're here today. And we thank you, Lord, for those that are here, those that are here to worship your name. And we thank you for this time of worship. We also thank you, Lord, for this time of prayer that we can come to you and can talk to you and, Lord, to praise you and, yes, to ask you for things. And, Lord, this morning as we think about that, as we think about asking you for blessings and for prayer requests, we have those who lift up to you this morning. We want to lift up Barbara Whitley to you this morning, Lord, as she is suffering from a kidney stone. We thank you, Lord, for the surgery that was successful. And we ask that you would give her a complete restoration of health. We thank you, Lord, and we pray, Lord, for Kathleen Hahn this morning. We pray for Lionel and the family who are ministering to her at her bedside. Now, Lord, your will be done. Your time, your will. And then, Lord, we want to remember Jeanette Barbie this morning as she's home still ill. We thank you for McCord, who's here and feeling better. We lift him up to you. We thank you, Lord, for the praise report from Ms. Nail that she's doing much better in the nursing home. We pray for her. And then for Sheila Bolton, who has cancer, we lift her up to you, Lord, and we ask for healing for her body. We ask for your will and your will there for sure. And then, Lord, for the family of Tony Bradley, Lord, we pray for them this morning as they've lost their father. We pray for that family who are mourning today. And then, Lord, as we go forward in the service today, Lord, we want to ask your blessing upon those who have another part in it today. We pray, Lord, for our praise team who will be coming to sing. And then, Lord, for our pastor who will be coming in for the message for the day. We ask, Lord, and continue to pray, Lord, for those who are the praise team, Lord, and then, Lord, we pray for all those who have parts in to help our church and help it grow. And now, Lord, as we go forward, we'll give you all the honor and all the glory for the praise. And now your name I pray. Amen. Okay, I mentioned the praise team. So, ladies, if you'll come on up here, we've got a medley of songs today that we're going to sing for you. And it's about the presence of the Lord. And all of us feel the presence of the Lord in our lives, that we should. And that's what these songs are going to talk about today. That's a medley of songs, as I said before. And Kathy, anybody got anything you want to add to this before we sing it? Because we've been rehearsing, and we realized that, you know, if you don't rehearse, don't expect much out of it. God will bless us either way, but I think you have to rehearse. And so But this is one that we got into last Thursday night, and it really did fit, don't you think? I mean, it really felt felt good. It felt good coming through. So we'll see how it all turns out. So, and that ain't working for you.
It'll be all right. We'll make it, stay make it work. We'll stay up.
Well, I can hold mine. You can take mine. Yeah, Kathy, you. Kathy, too.
We just got to operate on stands for me.
Okay.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Yeah, Rita and I were discussing this song on our way out. And, of course, you know, we did practice this Thursday night for the first time. We have sang it a long, long time ago. And Rita said, well, we probably should have listened to it without the words in the background one time. And I said, well, we are today as we sing it. So y'all bear with us. We're good.
And feel free if you know the words. Yeah, and
we might not know it real well, but we're good.
The message is great. Just
the message
don't,
is beautiful.
Don't listen to us.
Yes, the
don't listen to the way
great.
We sing it, but
it's beautiful.
But really focus on the words of the songs because they're awesome.
Yes.
That's it. That's what we need.
Yes.
Okay, Wes.
Feeling at home in the presence of Jesus. Hearing him call me his own. Just feeling at home. Right under his
Thank you. Children, you are dismissed.
Now, Wes, if you'll make a copy of that and send it to Bill Gaither, we may be seeing these people on TV. All right. You know, last week when I preached on the first part of the Lord's Prayer, I intended that to be a standalone message that, and go on to something else, but the Lord seemed to have something different in mind. So if you'll turn back with me to Matthew chapter 6 and we'll start at verse 9 and we'll talk about a little bit more about the Lord's, what we call the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6 verse 9. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debtors, and we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you give not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now remember, last week we talked about that first part, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our personal Father. And the power of his name, the power of the name of Jesus. And we looked at a lot of scriptures that talked about knees bowing to the name of Jesus and preaching in the name of Jesus. And then the hallowed part means Jesus being the center around which our lives revolve. That's so important, that Jesus be the very center of our lives in all that we do. And to pray that prayer is to pray, say, Lord, I want Jesus to be at the center. Not my job, not my family, not anything else, but Jesus at the very center of my life. And then the second that we want to look at this morning, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When you pray that, what are you thinking about when you're praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth or in earth as in heaven? Now remember, the Jews of the day of Jesus, they were looking for Jesus to come, or the Messiah to come in and set up an earthly kingdom like that of David, drive out the Romans, and become the dominant power of the whole world, but especially of the Middle East. They were looking for that kind of Messiah, that kind of king, and that's why they didn't like Jesus. You know, several times they tried to make him king, and he would just say no, and he'd go off to the mountain or get in the boat and go across the lake. He wouldn't allow them to make him an earthly king at that point. And guess what? The disciples never got it. The disciples never got it. They never understood exactly what Jesus was talking about. You remember in the book of Acts, and after his crucifixion, resurrection, they get ready to go back, and they're walking out after about several days, and they don't know it, but in just about 30 minutes, Jesus is going to ascend right up into heaven. And you remember what they asked Jesus in Acts 1:6? When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? 3 years listening to Jesus preach and teach, and they never got what Jesus was talking about when he talked about the kingdom of God. They didn't get it. Now, there's going to be a day that we call the millennium, thousand-year reign of Jesus, when Jesus is going to reign on the earth. And we're going to have a part in that. But that's not yet. Let me, I don't know whether this is a digression or not, but we cannot pass laws enough to make this a Christian nation. Now, I realize that there's a movement in this nation to try to do that. We'll take over the school boards, the county commissioners, the state legislatures, and the Congress, and we will pass enough laws. We'll push all the gays back into the closet, and we'll ban all the books we don't like, and we'll do all this, that, and the other, and suddenly this is going to be a Christian nation. It's not going to happen. Now, you'll understand later from what I'm going to say from Scripture, but it's just not going to happen. You remember the millennium? Can you imagine Jesus King over the whole earth? I mean, love, mercy, forgiveness, kindness, power. And yet, not everybody's going to like it. You remember the Scripture says, he will rule how? With a what? Rod of iron. In other words, everybody's not going to like it. You remember in the book of Revelation when the 1,000 years is up and Satan comes out of that bottomless pit and he stirs up the nations to rebel one more time and fight against Jesus. That means there are going to be people that live through the millennium with all the wonderful things that Jesus did and will do in the millennium. And they still say, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. And they'll rebel and they'll join that last final reunion and they'll all end up in the lake of fire and we'll all end up in heaven. At least those who know Jesus. You can't pass enough laws. Now, you know, I realize there's some laws I wish we would pass. There's some books that need to be banned. At least from decent libraries. I remember maybe 20 years or so ago, there was a book that came out, made the bestseller list, later made into an award-winning movie. And somebody gave it to me, I think, for my birthday. One of them big, thick novels based on true historical people and historical events. And I read about 20, 30 pages. I thought, man, this is a fantastic author. And then all of a sudden, I was reading the vulgar, trashiest mess you've ever seen. And I thought, wow. Well, you know, there's 2 or 3 pages of that. And I read on a little while and I thought, you know, wonder if that was the only bad place in there. And I flipped over about 100 pages and I came across a passage of several pages that was worse than the first. I didn't want that book on the shelf where my grandkids might pick it up and read it. It went in the trash. It didn't go in the recycling bin where some library could resell it. It went in the trash because that book was pure vulgar, pornographic. Great writer. Fantastic writer. And I didn't go see the movie either. There are some books that don't need to be in your library, personal library. They don't need to be in a school library for impressionable kids to be reading. But we cannot pass enough laws. We cannot pass enough laws to make this a Christian nation. What is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? If you flip back a page in your Bible to Matthew 4:17, Jesus From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, John had already preached that, and now Jesus begins to preach it. The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is now in hand. It's now accessible. It's now available. You know how it is at certain products. They say, now this will be on the shelves such and such a date. Jesus is saying, right now, the kingdom is at hand. And I want you to look, you'll understand better what I've been trying to get at if you look over at Luke 17. Luke 17. Beginning at verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, now those Pharisees came up to Jesus and said, tell us when the kingdom's coming. We want to know. He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo, here or there, for behold, the kingdom of God is where? It's within you. That's where the kingdom of God is. It's within you, believers. If we think of the kingdom of God as some big national space of territory, we're going to miss it. The kingdom of God's right here. The kingdom of God's right here. Matthew 5:3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom. Those folks that are willing to say, I need Jesus. I'm a savior. I'm lost. I need somebody to come into my life and make a difference, and it's Jesus. And you remember what Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3? Except a man be born again, he cannot receive the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot receive the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within the hearts and lives, the spirits of those people who have admitted, I need a Savior. And I believe that Jesus is the Savior, and I invite him into my life to save me. That's where the kingdom of God gets. You ever thought about this? An unsaved person can't pray the Lord's Prayer. Now, he or she can say the words, but there's two reasons they can't really pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, he's not their father. They're not part of the family. Only when we're saved and become a part of the family can we pray our Father. And only then, the second reason an unsaved person can't pray the Lord's Prayer is this. He's not submitted to the will of God. For me to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, is to say, I am submitted to you, Father, and I want your kingdom in my heart, and I want your will done in me. And it all is based on who Jesus is. Who Jesus is. You remember in Matthew 16, where Jesus is talking with the disciples. He's got them off sort of in a lonely place, and he says, who do people say I am? They said, well, some of them think you're John the Baptist and Jeremiah, Isaiah, one of the other prophets. And he said, well, all right, now, who do you think I am? And Peter pops up and said, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. And Jesus talked about upon the revelation of who Jesus was and who Jesus is the kingdom of God. And he says, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. That doesn't make him Pope. But the keys to the kingdom are, who is Jesus? And who's Jesus to you? You see, the kingdom of God is that place within us where we are totally surrendered to the will of God. Let me ask you a question. Anybody in heaven tell God no? He calls some angel in and says, I got an assignment for you today. I said, don't fit my schedule. Not today, Lord. You see, that's two words you can't put together. No, Lord, because either it's no and you're not my Lord, or it's yes, Lord. If he's your Lord, you don't say no. There's a scripture that talks about the angels in heaven are like servants to a king. And when I read that particular scripture, and I don't remember right now where it is, but when I read that particular scripture, I picture this king, he's sitting on the throne, and over here are various servants. And he says, you go do this. You go do this. Yes, sir. They jump up and they do it. And so it is with the angels in heaven. God in heaven, I want you to carry this blessing to earth today. I want you to go look after and protect this person today. I want you to go do this today. And those angels, yes, 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 yes. And to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, is to say, yeah, Lord, I want your kingdom to come and I will do my part. I will do my part. Now, again, back over in the book of Matthew, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men to do so, he will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. It says, you want to know your stature in the kingdom in heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven? And notice the various New Testament writers, some call kingdom of heaven, some kingdom of God. They're talking about the same thing, basically. It says the way we live and the way we teach. If I say the kingdom of God, I'm saved, I need to live it. I need to show as best I can with the learning that I have and the spiritual maturity I have at that particular point in my life, I need to live it. It shouldn't be something that we just do and say. And he said, if we mess it up, and that's sort of nervous-wracking. Whosoever shall break one of these commandments and teach other men to do so. What about those who say, well, this part of the Bible doesn't count, and this part of the Bible doesn't count, and that part of the Bible really doesn't meet the up-to-date standards of what people believe, and before you know it, we're living and teaching not the Word of God. Not the Word of God. There's a couple other scriptures I want us to look at. 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. And it goes along exactly with what I've just been saying. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The power to change lives. The power to make a difference. In the New Testament, it's the power to heal, the power to change our attitudes, the power to witness. Power. He said the kingdom of God is a place of power. Every one of us ought to be like a battery, place of power. Now, whether you're a AAA battery or a D cell or a C or one of those great big generators, depends on your spiritual growth and your spiritual maturity, but it has to do with we ought to be a place of power. There ought to be something in us that is different. Indifferent. Back over in the book of Romans, he also gives a description of the kingdom of God. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You see, they were arguing over, well, is this? Can we eat this piece of meat because it came here, from here, or that? And then he said, the kingdom of God is not a bunch of peripheries. The kingdom of God is about righteous living. The peace of the Holy Spirit and the joy. You know, there's another scripture that says, let the peace of God rule your heart. And the word is like being an umpire. Umpire says, you're safe or you're out. When we're just living our daily life, do you have times when the Lord says, you just feel it down inside, I need to do that. And then there's other times you say, I don't think that's a good idea that I do that. The Holy Spirit, the peace of the Holy Spirit ruling our life. Now you see, a lost person doesn't have that. They may have a conscience that can be good or bad depending on how they were brought up. But you see people doing things today that just absolutely stagger your mind. You say, how can somebody hurt little kids? How can somebody walk into a school and just randomly shoot? How can people do some of the ugly, hideous things they do? The peace of God would say to us, don't do it. And you know, the joy of the presence of the Lord. Nehemiah said it so long ago, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy, and how many times did Paul write, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Paul knew of the peace of God. We won't turn there, but in one other scripture, Jesus, he'd been in a certain village and he'd been healing, and they were just so blessed. They said, "Well, you know, can we almost like can we build you a house?" And he says, "I've got to go to other places and preach the kingdom. We have a responsibility to take what we have here and to share it." God never intended for you to, or me, to invite Jesus into our heart and lives and get joy here and not share it. If we've got something good, share it. Share it. You see, God's kingdom is not some geographical location established by earthly laws, but God's kingdom is born again people. Here's one, and here's one, and here's one, and here's one. And when we band together in a church, God's kingdom can be Barber's Grove Baptist Church. And if a community begins to have mostly saved, born-again people, it can become a godly kingdom, a part of the kingdom of God. But till Jesus comes and we all get to heaven, there's always going to be unbelievers, and we need to share Jesus with them. Question everybody needs to ask themselves, and I think all the adults here would say, I'm a part of that kingdom. I've invited Jesus into my heart. There may be somebody that is listening later on the website. Are you a part of the kingdom? Do you have Jesus in your heart? It's okay to work for lost to change. And I try to vote as best I can in those directions. But folks, what we need is changed hearts. Changed hearts. When God lives in your heart and God lives in my heart, and we let him be Lord of our life, and when our prayer truly can be, Lord, I want your kingdom to come and your will be done. Years and years and years ago, I don't know how many times I heard preachers say, sometimes we just need to draw a circle, step inside of it and say, Lord, let revival begin in this circle. Let a move of God begin in this circle. I can't be saved for you. I can't be revived for you. I can't experience the power of God for you. But you can experience it for yourself. My prayer is that every one of us will draw a circle and say, Lord, bring the power of God in this circle so that it just radiates from me to touch the lives of others. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? Would you just search your heart and your life? Are there places in your life where you can't say right now, that part of my life is surrendered to the will of God? If so, would you just now say, Lord, I surrender. As the old hymn says, I surrender all. Not part, not a little bit, not most, but I surrender all. Everything about me, Lord, I surrender to you. When we do that, we can pray the Lord's Prayer with confidence and with power. If you look here a moment, we've scheduled a church conference, call a church conference. We'll call ourselves into conference. And I think they've got two things from the Building and Grounds Committee.